This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas, presented by U Mobile.
Good morning, I'm Melissa Idris, and today on The Breakfast Grill, I'm speaking to Teresa Kok, the Minister of Primary Industries. She's also the DAP Member of Parliament for Sepute and has been since 1999. In the five terms she's contested, she's won that seat with an increasing majority each time. Yes. Welcome to The Breakfast Grill, YB. It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Good morning to Melissa.
Okay, so with the Ministry of Primary Industries, that was previously the Ministry of Plantation Industries and Commodities, right?
Yes.
Under
yes.
Ma Suk Yong as Minister. Now, what's the difference between the portfolio of this ministry? Has there been any changes?
There have been no changes under my ministry. There are six boards, palm oil, rubber, wood or timber, cocoa, pepper, and the another board called Kenaf and Tobacco.
So there's been no change except for the name?
Yeah, except for the name. I think Tun M likes this name better, the Primary Industries. That was the name of this ministry when he was Prime Minister.
All right, so just reverting back to...
And I think it's nicer.
Tell me why you got this portfolio. So why are you the best person to head this ministry? And why you think you were chosen for this portfolio?
Well, the choice is made by Tun M, because that is the Prime Minister's prerogative. But although I never thought of holding, coming into this ministry, but I must say that I'm learning a lot of new things and I quite like it now. And I felt that, I am changing from those days. Those days I was opposition MP, right? I was fighting against corruption, fighting for human rights, fighting against blah blah blah, all domestic, struggle. But now I'm fighting, especially in the palm oil sector. I'm fighting against the anti-palm oil campaign in Europe. So I am fighting for the price to go up. I'm fighting for new markets for our oil palm growers. So it's another type of fight or struggle now.
It's another cause to champion, right?
Yes, that's right.
But surely you've had, some kind of, discussion with people, with party insiders or the top leadership. What kind of insight did you get from why they chose you for this portfolio?
Well, okay, I have openly said that... Before I was chosen into this ministry, I hope that I can play a role to revive the economy of this country. I think that is a key thing for the new governments to do. And I, being a person who can command, three languages, Mandarin, English and Bahasa, so I think that I can, play some role in getting investment into the country. That's why I think maybe because of statement like this that make me be chosen into this ministry.
And you assumed office as Primary Industries Minister on the 2nd of July, right? So that makes it just a little over 100 days now in office?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so what has been your biggest accomplishment so far?
I shouldn't say accomplishment. I can only say that I'm picking up, I'm learning, and I started to tap into these, the foreign investors, some of the circle and companies. So, within 100 days, you can't achieve too much. But I'm really getting into the kind of better mood, especially after I came back from Europe. I was very chiseled out with the kind of anti-palm oil campaign that, in Europe, European countries, the more it motivated me to fight for this industry, fight for our palm oil.
Well, we'll touch on the anti-palm oil sentiment that's strengthening in the EU a little later in the conversation.
Yes.
But let's talk now about the ministry and the portfolio in terms of what you consider your top priority at the moment.
My top priority, of course, the palm oil price is low. Then my top priority is to see how to transform this industry. But of course, as a minister, I cannot just focus on one segment only. I have to look after six boards. But at the moment, I must say that more than 50% of my time is on palm oil.
Right. So palm oil is still, I guess, a main driver when it comes to this ministry.
Yeah, that's right.
And are there policies under the former leadership and the former administration of this ministry that you plan to continue?
Yes. The policies that I plan to continue, including certification of our palm oil under Malaysian Sustainable Palm Oil, MSPO. That is a standard that, you know, I want all big plantation companies to smallholders to register, you know, under this standard, MSPO. And we have pledged to international community that by 31st December 2019, all the palm oil that produced by Malaysia will be 100% certified.
So by the end of next year, all palm oil produced in Malaysia will be certified.
Yeah, that's right. So we are working very hard now to the smallholders especially to teach them on the good agricultural practices, to teach them how to get their oil palm estate being certified. And also, we also will certify the mills, you know, palm oil mills and refineries. So it's a big task for us to go ahead to work on the ground now. We hope that you know, by getting all our palm oil palm growers to certify, get themselves certified, this can help us, you know, to come up with the kind of standard. Then we can tell the world that all the palm oil that come out from Malaysia, or all the palm oil that will be exported to out of Malaysia, will be 100% certified.
Mm. You see, for me, I'm wondering, bigger picture, right? I'm zooming out and I'm looking at the economic policy of the country and where commodities or primary industries fits into that. How much emphasis do we want to give primary industries still? I mean, are we looking to move away from commodities-based economy to perhaps a service-driven economy?
Okay, you see, for all the six boards, all the commodities in my ministry, in terms of export revenue of the country, we rank number 2. So a lot of people didn't realize that from upstream to downstream, on palm oil, rubber, wood, and others, it is a very important segment, commodities for us to export out. For my ministry now, we are looking at downstream. Downstream of palm oil, rubber, and also timber, and other commodities too. Because we know that if we just focus on the upstream of all these plants, you know, whether oil palm trees or rubber trees and so on, we will always be affected by the international market.
Mm.
So they say now the palm oil price is so low because of the international, you know, the supply and demand, you know, market. So now we have to move towards downstream by getting more investors to come into the country to invest in the downstream of our commodities.
Yeah, so you know, it does feel that Malaysia is losing too much value when it comes to exporting crude palm oil products.
Yes.
I mean, we want to move downstream. We want to have that value added, high
yes.
value downstream products.
Yes, yes.
But the question is, what is your ministry doing to encourage, as you mentioned, this pro investor approach?
Okay, we will work closely with MITI, because if we want to encourage more investors to set up factories and so on, they will ask for incentive. And a lot of this, we need the cooperation of MITI. For example, you know, about 3 months ago, I went to China and I have met with COFCO, that is a GLC in China. And COFCO has been working together with Sam Darby pretty well all these years. So I invited COFCO to come to Malaysia to, you know, to work on our downstream of palm oil sector. And they are coming down now. They're coming to Malaysia now. So a few days ago, I still met up with them. And they are seriously thinking to set up, you know, to set up plants in Malaysia, and they worked closely together with Sam Darby to export our downstream of palm oil product back to China. I mean, this is part and parcel of my efforts to try to bring in investment for our downstream of our commodities.
More with the Minister of Primary Industries, Teresa Kok, after this. Stay tuned to The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to The BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Melissa Idris, and we have on the show today the Minister of Primary Industries, Teresa Kok. Now, the chairman of FGV Holdings, Dato' Wira Azhar Hamid, he is in the view that the palm oil industry is in need for a reboot. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we shouldn't have an expansion of any more oil palm plantation or oil palm estate, because Malaysia, we don't have that much land anymore. If any companies or even smallholders try to expand the oil palm plantation, we have no choice to go into the forest area. Then this will bring a problem to the country. And number two is that we need to look at improving the yield per acre for the oil palm estate rather than, expanding our plantation. So I think a lot, now we see that some of the plantation companies, they managed to come up with more than 4 tons per acre.
How do they do that? Is that through new type of seeds or...
Yeah. I think there are some technologies and also good practices that make them be able to produce more palm oil per acre.
Are we competitive when you look at, say, big palm oil producing countries like Indonesia, like Nigeria? Are we considered competitive?
I must say that I believe our cost of production is higher because of the wages of the workers. And also maybe plus other factors. But however, I must say that many of our plantation companies, they do pretty well because they work from, they're doing well in the upstream. And you can see that many of them, they have mills and also they have refineries. So they come up with a kind of like oleochemical, for example, or some even biofuel and export out of Malaysia. So all this will help all these companies to be more profitable in the business.
Which brings me to the EU palm oil proposed ban, right? So the European Parliament is moving to ban the use of palm oil in biofuels in the EU.
Restrict our palm oil imports, until 2030.
Okay, so restrict the palm oil imports for use of in biofuels by 2030.
Yeah, to into their market. You know, off and on, they come up with a lot of policies, with the aim to restrict the imports of palm oil into European Union. So, I remember, since Lim Keng Gek holding this portfolio at the time until now, we are still fighting against all this anti-palm oil.
Is there a difference between restricting the import of palm oil and a ban on palm oil?
They have not come to the stage of banning palm oil yet.
Okay, so right now, has that been approved by the European Parliament?
It has been sort of like approved. Now they come up with like, what do you call that, red renewable energy two, and that so-called red two, and then now ELO, indirect land use change. You find out with all these rather unfamiliar terms for most Malaysians come up by the EU. The intention is very clear, just to restrict palm oil or reduce the import of palm oil into the European market.
Right. The EU is Malaysia's third biggest palm oil customer.
Yes. In fact, EU, in terms of export for Malaysia, it always ranks number two or number three.
Yeah. So does that worry you, given that this is a widespread legislation?
It does, because even though we reduce the export of palm oil to European countries, the voice of or the kind of statements made by European countries, it will somehow affect the world. Because not to forget that we have a lot of multinational companies. They set up their plants in China, in India, even in Malaysia. So whatever policy come out by EU, it will somehow, spread to other MNCs throughout the world.
Right.
And then it will affect us.
Well, we're already seeing, I think the Iceland grocer, the British supermarket chain, already stopped using palm oil products in its own brand items, yeah?
Yeah, and then Zoo, you see that Greenpeace, they go to make noise, have demonstration outside Nestle, and also Unilever, and all this had disturbed us a lot.
Okay, so I want to understand the growing anti-palm oil sentiment in the EU. What do you think is driving it?
It's because we are their competitor of their oil.
The sunflower oil.
Yeah, the vegetable oil there, like olive oil, sunflower oil,
rapeseed
and soybean oil.
Mm.
So, you see, their oil, 1 acre can come up below 1 ton. You know, the yield is below 1 ton per acre, whereas palm oil can be 4 tons per acre. And now in some of the big plantation companies, they even can come up with 8 tons per acre. So palm oil has been seen as their main competitor in terms of oil and fats in Europe. That's why you know they keep accusing, you know, Malaysia and Indonesia on deforestation, killing the wildlife, and, you know, with all these issues to try to influence the opinion of the consumers in EU.
Is your read on this more about policy of protectionism as opposed to environmental concerns?
I think it's more on protectionism. But however, I think, as what I told the European Union leaders or the commissioners when I went to Europe 2 weeks ago, so I say we did not, as Malaysia, we did not brush aside all their accusations. So you can see that, you know, there are more and more plantation companies come out to support wildlife conservation. And I also have talked to some industry players. So they are thinking of, reforestation, plant back trees, right, you know, in certain areas in Malaysia. And also, the industry players in Malaysia, I must say that they are trying their best, you know, to meet the requirements of EU. And also, they are trying their best to have good agricultural practices in their field.
Right.
So that's why I told the EU commissioners, I say that, you know, we are trying our best to meet all their expectation, or we did not just brush aside their accusation. I said, in Malaysia, we never boycott your oil. We can buy your olive oil, sunflower oil, and soybean oil in our supermarkets. There's no such thing as discrimination on any oil, but we Malaysians were brought up by eating palm oil. You know, how can you all discriminate our oil?
Well, you know, I'm trying to understand where they're coming from. So I looked up, and some of the citations that the European Parliament's using is that a 2015 study by the European Commission found that palm oil and soybean oil had the highest indirect greenhouse emissions, gas emissions, because of deforestation and because of the drainage of peatlands associated with the cultivation. Right? So given the EU's commitment to the Paris Accords, you can see where they're coming from. They're committed to keeping to the Paris Agreement. Do you see that as well?
Yeah. Of course, for us, when, you know, the industry players, we are trying our very best to preserve our forests, wildlife, and so on. And yet, you know, they come up with this kind of policy one after another. That's what make me feel that, you know, we are cheese off. I felt that they are not sincere in SDG, Sustainable Development Goal, set by the UN, because by imposing all these stringent rules and regulations against our palm oil, it is going to hurt our economy. We are still a developing country. And also, they are going to hurt the smallholders especially. So that's why when I make my speech in EPOC, the European Palm Oil Conference, I did criticise the policies of EU. And I say that, you know, under the SDGs, there is a partnership, there's goal number 70. Developed countries like in EU, they should help and assist small economy like Malaysia, developing countries like Malaysia, and they shouldn't be so harsh to us. Mm-hmm. But as for Malaysia, we are trying our very best too to meet their requirements.
So you mentioned a little bit earlier that you made that announcement that Malaysia will not allow any more land to be used as palm oil plantation, right? You wanted to keep the forest cover, yeah, I believe, above 50%.
Yes.
54.6%, if I were
we
to be
precise. We are still keeping more than 50% of the forest cover. This was the Prime Minister commitment in Rio Summit in 1992. So until today, we are still having that much forest in Malaysia.
Does that help the narrative that you're bringing to the EU to fight the anti-palm oil sentiment, citing deforestation?
No. You know why? You know, all this anti-palm oil campaign, also funded by the, all these oil and fats companies, you know, in Europe. So
has that been proven?
No. you know, they are using NGOs, they're using media, they're using even the curriculum, the school, you know, textbooks to discredit palm oil. That's why now it is quite, you know, the anti-palm oil sentiment, I must say that it has gone up and not going down. So that's why now I'm very happy that, you know, in my trip to Europe 2 weeks ago, I met with the Indonesian trade minister, Pak Enggar. So both, you know, we have a bilateral discussion and we are committed now. We have to make CPOXI, the Council of Palm Oil Producing Countries, to be more active, to be more vocal. You see, not to forget that Malaysia had also imports. Malaysia and Indonesia, we import a lot of goods from Europe. So if they want to boycott our palm oil, maybe we also can retaliate by, you know, boycott their products.
What kind of retaliatory sanctions would you be looking at? Because, you know, it's not just Malaysia, it's Indonesia as well that
yes.
is also going to be impacted by this, right?
Yeah.
So are you looking at perhaps retaliation in terms of sanctions, in terms of tariffs or boycotts, as you just mentioned?
I have not come to that stage yet because I did report to the cabinet the issues that the anti-palm oil sentiment now, which is getting higher and higher, and many products, many food products in Europe are with the labels of no palm oil or palm free, you know, and so on. So I did tell the cabinet ministers, I say, all of us, if we go to speak in international forum, we must protest against the, you know, the way our palm oil being discriminated. And I also would tell our members of parliament, when they speak in IPU or any other international conference, they must raise the issue of palm oil because we have been treated unfairly. And you see, for Malaysia, we imported a lot of goods, for example, like eating oil, sunflower oil, olive oil, and all that. All these are from European countries, and milk powders. And, you know, we have also have purchased a lot of weapons from France, from many other countries too. So don't you think that, you know, we should be treated fairly with our products?
I'm speaking to Teresa Kok, Minister of Primary Industries. We're going to continue our conversation on this special extended breakfast grill just after the 8:30 news bulletin. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Melissa Idris, and this is a special extended version of The Breakfast Grill with the Minister of Primary Industries, Teresa Kok. She's also the DAP Member of Parliament for Sepute. Coming back to the anti-palm oil sentiment that you said was rising, especially in the EU, I'm just wondering now what can be done to mitigate this, right? So you said that it seems to be strengthening. What can be done to make sure that Malaysia and Indonesia and all the palm oil producing countries has a voice and that voice is heard?
I think we need to be vocal. We need to start fight back too. I remember when I talked to Indonesia, the Indonesian trade minister in Europe, he told me that the President Jokowi of Indonesia, when they decided to buy a bus plane from France, so President Jokowi told them that if you don't buy our palm oil, we are not going to buy your planes. We are going to cancel the deal. And also they demanded that Airbus must produce a plane with 2% to 10% of biofuel, palm biofuel. So that is the condition imposed.
Right.
So he also has shared with me the story that Norwegian country, the anti-palm oil sentiment is rising. So they told them that if you don't take our palm oil, we are not going to buy your salmon fish.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, I'm wondering if there are wider political ramifications from this because, you know, Europe is one of the world's biggest palm oil consumers, but so is India, so is China.
Yes, yes.
You know, so restricting palm oil in biofuels is also likely to weaken the EU's influence within Southeast Asia, right? When they are already concerned about the increasing domination of China within this region.
Yeah, agree. And for me, sometimes I find that it's a kind of hypocrisy, you know. On one hand, in EU, they talk about using biofuel so that to reduce the carbon emission, you know, in the air. They aim to achieve a 14% of biofuel usage by, 2030. On the other hand, they restrict palm oil from entering into their market. And palm oil is the best element for biofuel. Because and it's cheaper for them. I told them that I told the European Commissioner, I said, I just can't imagine that one day Europe will use olive oil as biofuel, you know, ingredients. Palm oil is the best. So, well, I think this is a kind of struggle. We need to work together closely with Indonesia to fight against this anti-palm oil, you know, campaign in Europe.
So do you think that certification is a silver bullet? Should certification be the way forward?
I think we have to do that. We have to do that so that to tell them that, okay, all the palm, we grow our palm oil palm trees, and we produce palm oil according to a standard. You know, that is a standard. You know, it's just an examination that is a standard. I think this is important for European countries, and because they like to have the product with traceability. So once we have the MSPO standard, we are able to trace, or any buyers can trace, you know, the source of the palm oil that they purchase from Malaysia, whether it involved deforestation, killing of wildlife, and so on. So I think it's good for Malaysia. And number two, I think we need to really look, encourage our oil palm growers to look into the environment. Some of the oil palm growers, they, I think, the way they grow oil palm tree in a very rather polluted way, ways, a lot of discharge go into the rivers.
So it
and
could be
polluted
better.
River. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I do wish to see, you know, the good agricultural practices be implemented by our oil palm tree growers.
Mm. You know, you mentioned a little bit earlier that we're already quite a high-cost producer of palm oil.
Yes.
Wouldn't certification increase that cost? Because certification is not cheap.
Well, now the for the government, we are subsidizing, we are paying, you know, for the small holders. Whereas the bigger plantation companies or even medium-sized companies, they pay on their own. So all this, I think, it shows the government's efforts to try to help our small holders. Mm. But I think for me, I think most important thing now is that besides EU, Malaysia has to explore new markets to export our palm oil.
So what kind of markets are you looking at?
Okay, maybe our palm oil price seems low now. However, there are new markets. You know, the figure that I got now is that India, there is an increase of 14% import of Malaysian palm oil. EU, there is still an increase of 5.2% compared to last year. And Pakistan, increase of 22% of import of a Malaysian palm oil. And other countries like, you know, Africa countries like mm-hmm. Mozambique, increased 47% compared to last year. And South Africa, there is an increase of 14%. So all these are, you know, encouraging, signs for us. Where that's why after the parliament's sitting ended, I plan to go to India. I wish, can encourage India to import more of our palm oil. And my ministry, we are going to push for biofuel, like Indonesia. You see, look at Indonesia. The way they handle the excess stock of palm oil is to increase the usage of biofuel. Now they are using B20. Next year, B25. That means 20% palm oil plus 75% diesel. And by year 2020, they are going to use B30.
But wouldn't they have their own stock, given that they are a huge palm oil producer already?
Yes, they have huge stock. But Malaysia, we just use up to B7. They said, now I want to push to B10.
There was a proposal, wasn't there, I think,
a few
years ago?
There is a proposal. I'm going to present a cabinet paper soon. So I hope that, you know, the public transport sector and also our industrial sectors in Malaysia, they are open in using B7 for industrial sector and B10 for the public transport sector.
Mm. I can see why you say that palm oil is taking up most of your time.
Yes.
We've been talking about palm oil for the past half an hour.
Yes.
I do want to give some attention to smallholders, though. I mean, it's an important stakeholder within the palm oil industry, the smallholders under Felda and Felcra, right?
Yes.
So how are you looking after their welfare under this ministry?
I can't do much because Felda practically is not under my ministry. Felda is under the Economic Affairs Ministry. Anyway, I have been liaising a few times in the last 100 over days with the leaders of FGV by introducing them. You know, whoever come to approach me that they want to buy palm oil, so I refer, you know, them to FGV with the hope that, you know, with FGV, the present financial situation now, I can help to introduce more investors or buyers for their palm oil. I think we are also working with FGV and Felda to certify, you know, the small holders on MSPO. So, I mean, although they are not under my ministry, but we are working closely together.
And apart from palm oil, you know, you've got timber, rubber, cocoa. So what are you looking at in terms of a driver for the Malaysian economy?
Rubber is more, I think our Malaysian rubber growth is one of the top. You know, we are the top producers in the world. And this industry, you know, has a lot of space to expand. And also for timber, you know, a Malaysian furniture is ranks number 9 in the world furniture producing countries. So now a few days ago, I went to the visit the Moa Furniture Association. They complained to me that they have so much orders, but they don't have enough materials to produce furniture. And of course, they request to have more foreign workers to be given to them so that they can produce more furnitures to be exported out of Malaysia. Mm. So I do see that, you know, all these commodities, the downstream of all these commodities, they do bring big revenue back to Malaysia.
So foreign workers would be a huge element within the primary industries.
Yes.
And are you talking to the relevant ministries to make sure that there is, you know, standardised policy making? I'm sure the minimum wage, the increase in minimum wage and the standardised minimum wage would have hit the primary industries hard.
Oh, yes. But they did not complain that much with the increase of 50 ringgit for the minimum wage. You know, they want more foreign workers. Basically, for the plantation companies, for the glove industry, and also for the furniture industries, they say that they can't attract Malaysians to work in their factories. So they just want to request the government to give them more foreign workers. And of course, the foreign workers issue is another big issue that involve Home Ministry and also Human Resource Ministry. And I think the government has set up a committee to review, you know, the workers' issues in total. Mm. So I'm waiting for the report from the Human Resource Ministry.
Would you be involved in that consultation?
Yeah. We always discuss about foreign workers' issues in the cabinet.
Unfortunately, Minister, we've run out of time, so I want to thank you for being on The Breakfast Grill today. I've been speaking to Teresa Kok, the Minister of Primary Industries. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'm Melissa Idris for The Breakfast Grill on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, Frost & Sullivan Malaysia's Mobile Data Service Provider of the Year.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.